The day I got out of jail, the day I stepped out, that's power. I want these little niggas to see that. I didn't get that power from guns because there's no guns in jail. I got that power from books and from thinking and by strategizing. That's what I want little niggas to see.
For many artists, such a lengthy prison sentence would inevitably mean substantial time out of the public eye. Careers could make or break when denied the vital lifeblood of celebrity, required to perpetuate their commercial value. This, however, was not so in the case of Tupac Shakur, whose presence in the charts would remain, whose popularity would be consolidated and, at least in terms of record sales, actually increase. Less than 2 months after being led away to jail, his third album was released to a salivating hip-hop public. The defiantly titled Me Against the World hit the record stores on the 1st of April 1995, and its 15 tracks were fit to burst with tales of black American ghetto life, as well as his own experiences within the confines of the gangster rap scene. Uniquely, the record opened with a piece of commentary in which his Times Square shooting was discussed before resuming its combination of rap and modern R&B. The album's centerpiece was the single Dear Mama, an autobiographical work in which Tupac appears to repent the stress he has caused his mother as a consequence of his turbulent life. The single itself was a hit and propelled its parent album to double platinum status before the end of the year. With mainstream success seemingly almost within his reach, it was unfortunate that he had to experience his greatest commercial achievements from within a New York prison cell. While serving his time, however, he granted Vibe magazine an interview in which he poured scorn on the East Coast-West Coast division and his part in its proliferation, as well as crucially renouncing his pre-prison thug life persona, claiming to be tired of promoting such a negative lifestyle. He complimented this by stating his plan to devote his life and career to works of a positive nature. His pugnacity, though, occasionally poked its head above the parapet of divinity as he went on to implicate several of the East Coast rapping fraternity in his near-fatal shooting. Such candor did little to cool down the simmering temperature that continued to rise inexorably between the two factions. Tupac's newly discovered devotion to peace and harmony, however, was underlined by his marriage to girlfriend Keisha Morris in April 1995, less than a year after the pair had first met. Tupac proposed to Keisha, a science graduate, just 3 months after their first date. But it was to be April 1995, 2 months after being locked up, that they would marry in a quiet prison ceremony. Tupac had been vocal in his wish to start a family, even going so far as to suggest exotic names for potential offspring. He claimed he wanted to raise the family in Arizona and name his children Star or Michelangelo. That was in the future, though, as the present still contained much to be dealt with, including the publication of the Vibe interview, which, once on the newsstands of America, saw those implicated by Tupac go public through various media sources to vehemently deny any involvement with the attempt on Tupac's life. Throughout 1995, Me Against the World ensured Tupac's name was not buried beneath the cream of new and upcoming rap artists. In fact, it succeeded in whetting the appetites of those eager to hear new music from the apparently reborn Tupac Shakur. Additionally, potential movie work was making itself available, as his increased profile resulted in the interest of movie directors upon his release from prison. And that, it would transpire, would be sooner than expected. In October of 1995, less than a year after being convicted, he was freed, having had the good fortune to have found someone prepared to step forward to provide the bail requirement of $1.4 million. The money, once delivered, secured his immediate release. The individual who bailed him out was, of course, someone who recognized the still untapped potential in Tupac Shakur. Someone who was willing to gamble an inordinate amount of money on him being able to make good on his prison promises and deliver on the outside. The person in question was Marion Suge Knight, founder member and chief executive officer of the hugely influential hip-hop and R&B label Death Row. Having overseen his label already generate in excess of $100 million, Knight took the opportunity to release a globally successful artist back onto the streets and into the charts of America. Tupac, in turn, would offer his thanks to his surprise benefactor by immediately flying to Los Angeles to sign a lucrative recording contract with Death Row and begin work on his first album for the label. Without doubt, Tupac's reputation and achievements in the industry preceded him, and alongside Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre, he was soon an integral part of the triumvirate that became the very centerpiece of Death Row Records. The new album promised to be more thoughtful and emotionally complex than his previous offerings, and after almost a year of reflection behind bars, Tupac Shakur had plenty to say and time to make up. If Tupac still wished to get to the top of his profession, then the ladder was now available to him, thanks to Suge Knight. Musically, at least, he was about to enter the history books and make big noises. And this time, the noises were of the more conventional kind.